Listen, laugh, and learn with Sasha and Ish as they share their experiences, thoughts, and tips to build skills that are not so average and a career that's not so ordinary. This is the Not So Breakfast Show.
All right, welcome to the Not So Breakfast Show today, the podcast for leadership and career development. And hey, can we talk about AI? Because everybody else is talking about AI and it seems to be the topic of the moment. Well, it doesn't seem to be. It is the topic of the moment. It's coming for your job. It's coming for your children. And I think it's something we need to talk about. We are not experts in it, but we do play with it. And we've got some perspectives that we think will be helpful as you navigate your way through the new AI world. And to help me navigate our way through this podcast, Sasha Coburn coming in all the way from Hamilton.
I am here live in the flesh. This is not a hologram. This is not an imagination of me. It's not an approximation of me. And it's not a Kate Middleton fake body double either. It's just me, real life me. It's getting harder and harder to prove whether anything's real. Right? I think we should straight away, right now, adopt a code word. But I think if we say it and tell it to the internet will hear us.
True.
And then the AI that tries to defraud us will know that that's our safe word. And I think even if you write it down on a bit of paper and hold it up to the screen, well, that, I think we should all do this all the time, that we need to have codes with all the people that we love and care about so that we know that it's them in real life and not some, I mean, not that I'm like immediately going to the deepest, darkest potential of AI, but I think I did. It's me. It's me. Ish, it's me.
Okay, good. It's you. I know it's you. But you're absolutely right, because some of the stuff that we've even been just been looking at now around this kind of written dialogue that's then turning it into a video, it's freaky, right? I mean, that's going to possibly unleash a whole new level of bullying. You know, if you could basically type in something to do to someone and then all of a sudden there's this video deep fake version of that stuff happening, it is really freaky. And when you see how real it is, you need to be aware of what's going on, because it is happening so quickly. And even from a couple of years ago when we were just talking about ChatGPT, and I was like, what the heck is that? To now just using it in everyday life, that curve, that kind of like sped up technology, that ability to access stuff is so rampant. It's everywhere. And we're already using it, and you may not even be aware that you're using it.
Well, I love that quote that says, the future is here already. It's just not evenly distributed. So there are people that are already living in the future using lots of this technology. And this technology is being used on us, whether we like it or not. In fact, when you first suggested this topic, I remember saying to you, do we know anything about it? And it's sort of like you said at the top, we're not experts, but we know enough about it to know there's some ways that we can harness it, and we want to talk about those. And we know enough about it to know that there's a few dangers and risks out there that we also need to be aware of. But it can't be ignored. I think that's the point, right?
Yeah, that's the point, because it's not a if, it's when, right? And I mean, I'm still having conversations with people that have never used any deliberate attempts to use AI, right? They haven't experimented with ChatGPT. They haven't created some images by, you know, typing in some text to see what that does. They're not even playing. And I kind of go, well, you're just going to get left behind. You kind of need to be experimenting now, because you're already using it, or it's using you. So if we kind of start with the base level of it, it's Google searches is using a form of AI, right? It's actually, when you type in, show me this information, it's bringing up preferences, and those preferences are being referenced against searches you've done previously, or other people like you that are searching for stuff. It's in your social media. It's in your feed. You are being presented information based on an AI algorithm. Even Netflix is serving up what it wants you to view based on your previous search history. So you're already in this world now, but there is a new form of AI that's basically coming that can be very helpful.
Well, I know that there's going to be one or two tech geeks listening to this just getting very angry right now, because they're going to say, what you're describing is not AI, right? Because artificial intelligence has this technical definition that is around once machines start thinking for themselves and coming up with these ideas. So arguably the things that you are talking about are still coded in some particular way. So some human is saying, I want you to do this thing and setting this course of action. And the purists like to say, well, AI is when is machine learning, when the machine starts to do it. And I'm like, you say potato, I say potato, right? We are talking about this rapid acceleration of tech and what these large language models, which is what a lot of quote unquote AI, ChatGPT is built on. There's now sufficient processing power to do all of these things in a meaningful way. So if you want to get all quibbly, this is not the show for you. This is the show that says, here's what's out there. How do we use it? Let's go.
Yeah, definitely. And if we kind of look back to things that in history have just changed the game, and really I think it's important to look back and see where those things have changed the game, because as we said at the start, the technology is learning us faster. It's coming quicker than it has done in prior generations. So you kind of go just computers in general. Okay, they've been around for a long time and they've got faster and smaller and quicker and all of that kind of stuff. And they're now in our pockets and it's part of our everyday life, some form of that kind of original computer. The automation of production lines, like being able to produce things at speed. I mean, that cut thousands of jobs in the way that those things came out. So that was technology, again, redefining the way that we do stuff. Even cars replacing horses and planes coming into technology, and that now they can fly further and single trips and all of that kind of stuff. Technology is coming, and this is another form of technology. But because of the pace of it, I think ignoring it, or I'll get to it at some stage, is probably not a great strategy. I think you need to have some form of understanding. And if you're a business owner, your staff are probably using it right now and you're just not aware of what they're using.
And if they're not using it, fire them. What are they doing?
Exactly. What?
Wasting time. Wasting time writing their own emails? Yeah. Stop it. That's crazy. You know that sort of, it's cheesy, but it's true, that well-worn example where we are now carrying around in our pockets more computing technology than was available when they sent the ship to the moon.
Yeah.
So the computational power in your pocket, I mean, that just blows my mind.
It's crazy, eh?
And it's only accelerating.
Yeah. So maybe we'll discuss around sort of types of more, we'll call modern AI, or modern forms of algorithms that are starting to learn and think for themselves. So we'll start with the basic one, which is ChatGPT. If you've never used ChatGPT before, get on there and just have a play. You just create an account. You can then go in there and you ask it questions, and it basically surfaces you information. And you can even Google some great prompts to put into ChatGPT, because it's powered by your ability to prompt it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that you want an Instagram post to put out there on a specific topic. And you could say, write me an Instagram post on why I should eat cabbage for dinner. And it will come up with a post for you.
Cabbage is delicious. Cabbage is nutritious.
With some emojis.
Cabbage make your children want to do their dishes.
Yeah, and it could even be that it doesn't have enough emojis in it. You go, add emojis, you know, change the tone, make it more empathetic. Actually asking it some questions, you'll start to get a feel for what it can do. And what it's quite good to do is get you off the blank page of nothingness.
Yes.
You have to write the email about something. You don't really know how to get started. You might go, can you write me an email on this topic, or can you give me talking points for my presentation, or could you give me 6 bullet points to cover off? And then all of a sudden it just gets you started.
So here's an example we used the other day at Coffee Culture. We want to replace our uniform and we know that we need to go out to our owners with a survey. So I've got ChatGPT 4 point something. It's the paid version. It's got a little bit more power, does a few more things. So I just said, we are a group of 20 coffee shops and we want to change our uniform. We would like to ask our owners for their opinions. Please write me a 10-question survey. Yes. And like in 15 seconds, boom, and it's got 10 categories.
Yeah.
Quality, range, phenomenal. Not for me to then push the button and send it to my owners.
No.
But now my page isn't blank. Now I go, oh, I don't want to ask that. I don't want to ask that. I do want to ask that question in a different way. And I'm already so much further ahead than when the page was just blank.
Yeah.
That's the power of it. I think we lose voice, we lose our humanity when we just take it and paste it. But as a starter for 10, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Then there's things, if you want to explore this kind of text-to-video world, Sora, S-O-R-A, is something you could just Google or go on YouTube and have a look at what the tech is able to produce. But the probably one of the hot topics that's coming through business at the moment is Copilot by Microsoft, right? So this is an AI overlay or AI integrated that is helping you with your productivity, helping you with your creativity, and helping you basically do analytics and predictive analytics on data. And it's just integrated into the Microsoft Office suite. It's in your email. Like even now, if you're using Microsoft Office, it's probably already prompting you on replies to your email. But more than that, it can actually start going, help me create a presentation or help me produce this piece of content in a PDF that I can send to my team in a way that's visual. And it'll just basically do some of the stuff that the other tech's doing, but it's all integrated into the one platform. And what it will be doing is bringing security and privacy to these open AI tools. So it's a little bit more control around it than just chucking something in ChatGPT to see what happens.
Have you Googled any of those image ones? Oh, sorry, not Googled, but have you used AI to do things like Ish with hair or Sasha with two boobs or
Ish with two boobs?
Please. Ish with less than three nipples.
Yeah, it's so funny. I actually did a presentation just recently because we were talking about AI, and I just used AI to build the whole thing. And I just, whatever the topic was, I just put it in, and whatever image it came up with, I just used that as the image. It was hilarious on its interpretation of like what things meant, but it was also referencing it on the fact that it knew I worked in the fitness industry. So it was creating images that it thought would be helpful for me. And image creation is one of those tools that's going to become better and better. So rather than trying to get on there and create or do endless image searches to find stuff for your PowerPoint, it will literally be prompting you with images that you could be bringing in without even having to ask it. That's where it's going to start to head. Even editing tools like on this podcast, like the way that we can edit the podcast now is way faster than when we started it 3 years ago.
Wow.
It's just the AI stuff in Riverside, which is the one that we happen to use. It even color codes the voices. It knows who's talking. It's changing the color. It's giving me an actual transcribe of what we're saying. And I can actually edit it by either listening to it and take parts out, or I can just take the words out of the transcribe.
Wow. So
that's where AI is becoming helpful from a productivity. It's speeding things up.
Yes.
And it's the type of AI, it's safe to use. So put a policy around it for your work that just says, hey, don't put people's name in there and this is the type of information you shouldn't do. And just get on with it and have a play because it's your team's probably using it anyway, so you need to be aware of it.
I wonder if I say now, hello, my name is Ish, if I will fool it. Or do you think it's listening now going, bitch, it's you, Sash. We know your voice. Yep. It's you.
It knows your voice. It's you. Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Do you spend too much time planning out and then freaking out about your upcoming presentations? Then the 30-Minute Presenter Program is for you. With our audio-based training program, you can literally learn the art of presenting while walking, driving, or even in the bath. Imagine Sasha and I right there with you. Well, not in the bath, but in your ears, unpacking our 40 years of combined experience in this impactful upskill. Learn to craft messages that matter, engage an audience, and overcome those nerves. So join the 30-minute presenter program. The link is in the show notes. Get started today.
Why don't you say hi, I'm Sash, in a really high-pitched, sexy voice like mine, and see if you can fool it.
Hi, I'm Sasha. I live in Hamilton, and I own a boutique branch of coffee shops called Coffee Culture.
I think I went. You are so mean.
I love it.
Okay, you do me now. Go.
Yes. Hi, I'm Ash. You may know me from successful shows such as the Not So Breakfast Show.
Brilliant.
Oh, is that my hip that's sore? No, it's my other hip.
So let's talk about buckets of AI then. So I think the productivity, efficiency, anything around increasing creativity, there is tools out there that will just help you be more productive, your team be more productive, get things started, be creative. And I think it's about policy, get on with it, and just have a bit of a play. And then there is like your data analytics and predictive analytics, and you might want to be more cautious about what sort of stuff you feed into that. Because once it's out there, it's out there.
So tell me what you mean by that. Explain that.
So if you start feeding in your company P&L, and then you start putting that in there and just saying, oh, can you predict some trends on that? It probably can, but then your company P&L is out.
Right.
So that's where you might be wanting to use specific tools that are ring-fenced, closed, you know, are working within like something like Copilot. It's a more controlled environment. It's not just a free-for-all. You need to understand where information may be going as a result of you just putting it out there, and just be aware that once it's out there, it's out there.
Is it pretty common knowledge is just around that security stuff? You know how people think their phones are listening to them because you talk about something and then the ad comes up in your Facebook feed?
Yep.
That's like indisputable now, right? Is it? Does everybody accept that your phone is listening to you?
When you said, you know how people think that's happening. No, that is happening. Yeah, let's be clear. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just revealing my total ignorance now because I quite like it. I find it quite helpful that I'm talking about incontinence and then incontinence pads come up in my feed. Thank you very much. Are there changes that we can make in our settings, or does your phone just go, haha, you can't opt out of that?
I don't know the official answer to that, but I think that you can turn off Siri, obviously, from listening. But who knows? The tech is so different now. I think if you're on like a Nokia 2210 or whatever those ones back in the day,
if you've got a brick, you're okay.
Yeah, but if you've probably got one of the newer devices, I have no idea how to answer that, but maybe I can Google that. We can find that.
Maybe AI can
But I would us. Assume if it's got a microphone, you should just always assume it's
listening. It's listening, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then your third bucket of AI is really your change the game stuff. This is going to bring efficiency to your business. It's going to replace jobs. It's the unknown of how it's even going to be used. But in that way, it's no different to other technology that has come in the past that's done the same thing. It's just that it's more rapid. So it's not like there's the opportunity to be sitting back and kind of go, oh, I think I'll just worry about it maybe in a couple of years. In a couple of years, it's going to be way more integrated than it is now. And it could even be integrated to the point where you may not even have a choice. It could be in every piece of software that you are using. So I just think it's something to start going, if you don't understand it, do a little bit of research, have a bit of a play, ask some people, listen to some podcasts, put in the work now. So as it changes, you have some context for what's going on around it, especially in this ever-changing environment.
See, one of the interesting things that pops up for me from what you've just said is I think about, you know, myself as a business owner and the team that we have, and I always feel like we're under-resourced. So we add more people and there's still more to do because there's always ideas that you're not chasing. There's opportunities that you're not going after or programs you're not implementing. So I don't think of it in terms of let's get more AI and then I can get rid of some people. I think let's get some more AI so we can do more of the things that we want to get on and do and try more stuff so we can be more productive. Yep. By not losing an hour of a day looking at a blank screen going, how do I start writing that report? I don't have any words. So any time that you get stuck, particularly on a writing task, you've got the ability to have a prompt and therefore not waste all that time. So for me, it's about how can humans flourish by harnessing these tools? And there will be some evil overlords that go, get rid of all the people and write everything. The other interesting thing about that is it's almost like when you come back to where are the opportunities going to be in the future for business innovation and growth. On the one hand, what we do in selling coffee is pretty basic. And what you guys do in selling fitness is pretty basic. Everybody knows they could make their coffee at home. Everybody knows you could just go for a run and do some push-ups and you'll probably be fitter or fit enough, right? But as the world gets more technologically advanced, the human body, we still need haircuts, we still need feeding, we still need motivation to exercise. And it actually brings more relevance, I think, to some of the physical businesses, even while tech businesses explode. Does that make sense? It's a counterintuitive thing that you can either say, oh, tech businesses are exploding, I need to be in them. On the other hand, tech businesses are exploding and people will still need to be fed and clothed. And you know, what are all those traditional crafty industries that involve the physicality of our humanity? And maybe there's an opportunity for people to double down on those.
Yeah. That's right. And then the professional that learns how to use these tools to be more effective at speed. So if we use something like a personal trainer, you know, for a long time, personal training currency was their knowledge, the ability to write a program and then deliver that in a motivational way that helps you stick to it. So now if the program has been democratized, like, you know, you can probably get ChatGPT to write your pretty good program immediately, or you could get join an app that could probably create something specifically for you, a little bit more tailored, then what's the personal trainer actually delivering? So if they're then delivering the human side of that and the motivation, but then if there was an overlay that kind of said a little prompt from an AI that says, hey, Sasha hasn't been to the gym, she was going to come on Tuesday, she hasn't come in, I'd suggest you give her a text and just say, hey, Sasha, I know she didn't go to the gym the other day. That would probably be quite useful for a personal trainer. If that was then automated, that I just knew it was going to give you a prompt if you didn't go to the gym, and then it's going to tell me that it texted you and said, hey, I've texted Sasha to let her know that she missed her workout today and you need to book another one. That's the tools that are starting to make the personal trainer's world more effective, right? And then they can still do what they do as far as the motivation, human and connection, but they'll be way more efficient than if I see you next week and go, how'd your workout go? And you go, I didn't go. And then you've wasted 7 days, right?
I love what you're saying about the opportunity, and I hate it so much I'm going to live on an island. Because what I was going to suggest is, what about if it knew when the best time was to text me because it could tell that I was online right now? It's like WhatsApp, where you can see when other people are online. Mm. And I love seeing when other people are online. And then I realize they can see me and I quickly exit. I don't want them to message me. But I just had this brainwave just then, because let's for example, just for once, talk about me. And the challenge for me in my own exercise, staying in the exercise field and nutrition, is let's look at all the factors for the advice that I want. So I want some nutrition advice about how to live a really healthy life. What's the best way for me to eat to fuel for my age? And here are some factors. I'm 50, but probably because of cancer, I'm well through menopause. So that's long gone. Second of all, I've had breast cancer. So lots of the suggestions for supplementation involve extra estrogen, and extra estrogen is a risk. And on top of that, here is my particular body type. Here's my particular lifestyle. Here's some of the exercises that I can't do because I've had a mastectomy, and so my range of motion. So you kind of plug in all of these individual things about me that mean when I go onto the internet, there'll be a lose weight when perimenopause, and it will have all these suggestions, but there's a cancer risk. Or it will, do you get what I mean? And I've just suddenly thought I could put all of that into ChatGPT-4 and it could probably do the work for me.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. So if we can get personalization based on, otherwise I go to a trainer doesn't know enough. The cancer specialist doesn't know anything about exercise and how heavy I should be lifting. Nobody knows enough about the intersections. ChatGPT-4 probably does.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful, right? That's powerful.
Yeah. And even with the nutrition part, you know, I mean, we have nutrition apps that can help you eat healthy, and but also could it create menus for you based on the food that you have purchased and haven't consumed yet, and kind of go, hey, here's three things you could have for dinner tonight based on what you've got in your cupboards and in your fridge. Like, could it do that? Or it could be that it could start to get to the point where it even prompts you, you're driving home, and go, hey, Sash, we know you need to cook dinner tonight, just letting you know that you're out of meat. And then you can go choose some meat or whatever. And then,
and New World has steak on sale.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Like, I know there'll be people listening to this that freak them out because they won't want that kind of involvement. But I kind of like that. I like the fact that it's going to make things easier.
Yeah, you say involvement, other people say invasion. And like, it's a perspective thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I am totally here for the things that help. So, you know, when you sit, like in the old days, the example of this, you go and sit on an Air New Zealand plane and it says, kia ora, Sasha. And I'm like, well, yes, that's me. Hi. And even though you know that it's a bloody computer,
yeah,
it's nobody has sat down and written on a handwritten note, Sasha's going to be sitting in 24A today. But even though I know it's a machine, I like it. And when it's not there, I'm like, machine's broken. Oh, no. And I feel like unseen.
Yeah.
Now, that might say something about my psyche, but I think we're all a bit like that. We're all suckers for when it works.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's here to make life easier if you would want it to do that. And then I think we need to figure out ways to use it and embrace it that help us become more effective, more productive, and better at what we do and not be threatened by it, but also recognize that there will be some things in our day-to-day that we don't need to do at work as a result of something else doing it for us. So thinking about repositioning and where do we add value and how do we use it to accelerate and make our value even more because we can work faster and better and smarter than be threatened by it, head in the sand, I don't want it to change, and all of a sudden, maybe we become irrelevant.
Okay, quick question. Have you put into ChatGPT how cool is Ishmael Shane?
No, I haven't put that in.
Oh, have you should. That? Yes, because it's going to say very, very cool. And if it's not, throw it out, get a new one.
Yeah. Be kinder.